Well, good morning to all of you. Greetings in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. It's a great pleasure and honor and joy to be with you today. If you have your Bible, please open it to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 10. Start reading around verse 17. Mark 10, 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the love and faithfulness that you've shown in our lives. We want to tell you how grateful we are that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, came to save us. I want to thank you for saving me. I thank you for the great privilege and honor it is to preach the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the brethren that are assembled in your name. I pray your richest blessings upon them. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll prepare all of our hearts of this week. May we have room for you. Lord, I realize that you're wanting to do a job. You're wanting to do something here. Please don't allow me to get in the way. I pray, Lord, that you'll use me for your honor and for your glory, which is my purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to focus on the last portion of that verse, of verse 22, where he says that this young man, he was sad at the saying of Jesus, and he went away grieved. You know, this guy had a lot going for him. He had a good life. He had a good testimony. He had a good reputation. Even Jesus, who knows the hearts of man, couldn't deny it, or he didn't deny it. But at the end of the line, the Bible says that he walked away sad. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, walking away sad. Don't do it. Don't do it. You see, this young man, when he came up to Christ and he approached him and he asked him a question, he says, "I want eternal life." He had a good motive. He had a good intent. And I think that most of us here today have good intentions. Most of us here gathered this morning at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning have good intentions meeting in Jesus' name. We have a purpose, and this purpose might be good, and this motivation might be the right motivation. But at the end of the day, this man, he walked away, he turned away from everything that he knew to be right. Look also that this man, this young man, he had great morals. He said, "Everything, Jesus, that you've mentioned to me, I've kept since I was a youth. If you're talking about loving my neighbor, I've loved him. If you're talking about honoring my parents, I've honored them. If you're talking about being just and righteous, that's who I am." And Jesus didn't deny it. He had great morals. And oh to God that we would live in a society among people that would be as moral as him. Our lives would be so much better, wouldn't they? Don't we frown upon those who are just so unjust and so ungodly and so immoral? We're like, "Man, what's happening to our country? It's going down the drain." Don't we wish to have people like this young man? Wouldn't you want to have a neighbor like him? Wouldn't you love to have friends at work as moral and as just and as righteous as this young man? He had great morals. I think that he had a good mom and a good daddy. I think his parents took him to church. I think his parents didn't make the excuse that a lot of us make, well, you know, the baby's going to be tired, so I don't want to take him to prayer meeting. I don't think that his parents made the excuse that a lot of us make, well, you know, church is just too far and it's too long. Oh my goodness, we're going to have three preachers today. Did the second one get the memo that it's just testimony time? You know, I don't think his mom and his daddy made this excuse. I think they invested in their child, and I think they did a good job. Incidentally, I think all of us parents should follow their cue. Don't make excuses for your children. Don't make excuses for their laziness or for their lack of interest in church. Get them interested. Show them what a joy it is to serve the Lord. When you serve the Lord, serve Him with joy. This is the strength of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But yet, so many of our testimonies are, oh my goodness, we have to go to church again. We have to go Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Why is serving the Lord such a burden for people nowadays? Anyways, I think he had a good mom and a good dad. But in the end, the Bible says, and I'm not twisting, I'm not saying anything, he just walked away from it all. He came to a crossroads where he met Christ, and he says, look, this is what you're going to have to do. And he says, it's just not worth it. So he walked away from everything he knew to be right. Yeah. And he went away sad. Just let me put something in here right now. If you walk away from it, you might be thinking what you're doing is right. You might think that it's not worth the cost or the value or the price. But one thing is for sure. You'll walk away just as this young man did. Sad. Amen. You might think that you're doing the right thing. You might think that it's too expensive. It's too costly. There's too much price to be paid. But ultimately, you'll walk away. At the end of the line, you'll be sad. We see so many people nowadays, in churches, walking away from God, walking away from church, walking away, turning away from their convictions, denying the commission that Christ has given them. And they're sad. But I have to ask the question, why is that? Why does this guy walk away from it all? Well, there's four things I see here. First of all, look in verse 21. He says, one thing you're lacking, one thing thou lackest. Sell all. First thing, the first reason why this young man walked away is because there's a cost involved. You know, you want to serve God, you want to live right, you want to seek Him, you want to dedicate your life to Him, you want to do what is pleasing in His sight, you have to realize that there is a cost involved. Amen. It's going to cost you something. And you might have to give up on friends. You might have to give up on some sort of habits and things that you like doing. Or you might have to give up on a job. And you might have to give up on pleasures. You might actually have to turn away from your family. But there is a cost involved. If you don't realize this, you're gonna be disappointed. You're gonna turn away sad. I met a young lady just this year. Met her at school. She says, I know what you're saying is true. I've read it in the Bible. I know the Bible is right. She says, I've heard you online. I've heard your dad online. I've heard Grzegorz Gontarczyk online. I know what you guys are saying is true, but I just can't do it for two reasons. One reason is, I live in a different city. It's comparing San Antonio to maybe Atascosa. I live too far. Second reason, my mom and dad, they told me, if you go to that church, you don't have a home here anymore. If you go to that church, you're dead to us. If you go to that church, you don't have a mama and a daddy anymore. Listen, let me tell you something. There is a cost to serving Christ. There is a cost, or there is a price to be paid in order to have what we're having. It's not cheap. It's not for free. There is a cost to be paid. A price to be paid. Now before you think about paying that cost, you have to consider the value of what you're buying. You know, I was flying over here and I was stuck at the airport and I was a little bit thirsty. So I said, a Coke sounds good right about now. So I went into the little store there and they wanted to charge me $8 for a little can of Coke. So I got the item. I have the cost versus the value. I don't know that it's worth it. I don't know that this Coke is as valuable as I don't know that it's worth $8. I think water right about this time sounds fantastic, right? How much do you value? Do you realize the value of what we have? The value of meeting in Jesus' name. The value of preaching Jesus. The value of God's Word. The value of living for Christ. The value of suffering for Christ. Man, we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to hide and be embarrassed that some people reject us because of Christ. Man, rejoice when these things happen to you. To suffer for Christ. The value. Man, what price tag can you put on what we're doing? What price tag can you put on preaching the gospel, on reaching out to somebody who said, you know what, God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave you His Son. Not just some Son, but His only begotten Son. Now, not just so that you can adore Him and enjoy Him, but He gave you His Son, and His Son died on the cross, and He was beaten, and He was tortured like nobody. And He did it to prove to you that He loves you, that He might save you. And to see somebody say, yes, I believe. I'm a believer. I trust Jesus Christ. What value is that? There is a value. It's worth it, is what my point is. But this man didn't understand it. The cost is definitely worth the value. Listen, guys. There's another thing here. In the same verse, 21, he says, sell all. He realized that there was a commitment involved. It wasn't just about, you know, I'll do this thing for some time. You know, it's like burning bridges behind you because I have to sell all. If I sell all and I give all, I don't have anywhere to go back to. That is a huge leap of faith. I don't know that I've ever had to do that. But this man had to. I don't know that all of us have to, but you just might. And when you get to this point, what are you going to do? You see, nowadays, a lot of us say, when we're asking for a commitment from somebody, hey, you want to go meet me on the street? You want to go door knocking? You want to go street preaching? You want to go talk to somebody? You want to go visit somebody? What do we say? In order to sound spiritual and do what's right, we say, okay, Lord willing, I'll see you there on Friday. Lord willing. What does that mean? That means that I don't want to commit. That means that I don't want to tell you yes because let your yay be yay and nay, nay. You know, we don't want to go back on our word. So we'll just say, you know, Lord willing. There's a commitment involved. God is willing. Are you? That's the question. That's the bottom line. God is willing that all men should be saved. Are you willing that all men should be saved? God is willing for you to preach the gospel. Are you willing to preach the gospel? God is willing for Christians, for the saints to gather in His name. Are you willing? There's a commitment involved. Why doesn't a man want to marry his girlfriend? There's a commitment involved. Why doesn't a man join the military? Because there's a commitment involved. Why doesn't he go to college? There's a commitment involved. Well, the same thing applies to the gospel, to Jesus Christ. He says, sell all. Give all. You heard about that guy that swears to his own hurt and changes not? You heard about that man? That's the guy that's going to inherit the kingdom. That's the guy that's going to be in heaven. And that's the kind of commitment that God is looking for. Are you committed? There's another thing. Look at what he says in same verse 21. He says, "Go your way, sow whatever you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me." There's a certain sense of curiosity about what God forbids. You see, the cross here isn't intended for you to suffer on. It's not given for you to feel some pain. The cross here is to kill, right, is the idea. Christ didn't suffer on the cross. He died on the cross. It's to mortify. But wasn't this young man a little bit curious about what he wouldn't be able to do if he took up the cross and followed Christ? Wasn't he just a little bit curious about, you know, the things that he's never done or never been able to do or wouldn't be able to do if he sold all and followed Christ? Think about Adam and Eve at this point. You know, God makes Garden of Eden, and I don't know how big it was, but let's just assume that it's, you know, like San Antonio. And he says, "Eat whatever you want. Poland has lots of forests. And man, you go into a forest, you can get lost in them." And God places Adam and Eve in this garden, and he says, "See all the trees? Eat whatever you want. Take freely as much as you want. There's no limit. You don't have to work for it. It's all given to you for free." He says, "But there's just one tree over there. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Stay away from it. It's not good for you." So my question is, what in the world, among this huge forest, among this huge garden, why are they over here looking at this curious tree that God said, "Don't touch, don't eat"? There's a certain curiosity about the forbidden, isn't there? How many young people in this church or from this church, grown up with in a Christian family, God-fearing parents, just a little bit curious about what our friends do? You know, how many of you gotten drunk just out of curiosity how it feels? Guilty? How many of you have smoked just out of curiosity? How many of you sworn just out of curiosity? How many of you just let yourself go just out of curiosity? Paul, "I die daily." Paul, "I am crucified with Christ." Paul, "Mortify your flesh." You see, if you want to serve Christ, if you want to live for Christ, if you want to be used of Christ, you have to mortify the flesh. That desire, that curiosity, that intrigue, man, put it away. It's not good for you. If God said don't eat it, don't eat it. It's not good for you. He's not being mean or cruel or malicious or anything. He loves you. I tell my kid, "Don't cross the street without looking first, because I'm just a horrible daddy," right? You guys get the point. Another thing. He says, now I find this the most interesting. Because I try to point out that this guy was moral. I try to find out that this guy was okay. I try to point out that this guy was raised the right way. I try to emphasize this point, but what does Jesus tell him in the last part of the verse? He says, "Come, follow me. Follow me." What are you saying, Jesus? Are you doing the right thing, but you're not following me? What are you saying, that you're righteous, but you're far from God? What are you saying, Jesus? Come follow me. I'm doing what's right already. This young man wasn't close to God. You know, he knew God. He evidently was raised ought to fear God. He understood the law, but he didn't know God. He wasn't following him. It wasn't close. Interesting. I think of Hophni and Phinehas. And raised in the temple by the priest. So close to God. I mean, taking part in the daily sacrifices. Spilling the blood. Sprinkling the blood. Hearing the words. Cleansed, forgiven, clean, free, saved, every day. And yet the Bible says that they knew not God. They knew not God. We're talking about two men who were serving God, who were working for God. And the Bible calls them the sons of Belial. Billy said the other day, the sons of hell, the children of hell. That's all they were. Come, follow me, Jesus said. Mark chapter 7, he says, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We're talking about people who come to church every Sunday. We're talking about people who give offerings. We're talking about people who go on the mission field. We're talking about pastors and preachers and deacons. We're not talking about, you know, the 11 o'clock Christians. We're talking about seriously interested people in the work of God who knew not God. We're talking about somebody like Paul who said, you want to compare yourself to me? Sure, let's go at it, you know. I'm not afraid. You think that you serve God more than I do? I'm more zealous than you. You think that you keep the law better than I do? I was blameless. And he knew not God. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about this guy who had a reputation of being godly. Who had an outward appearance of being righteous, of being God-fearing, but was the son of the devil. On the other hand, Samuel, look what he says, what the Bible says about him. He met God. Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Samuel, he responded, right? God called him, he responded. What's interesting about Samuel is that it says about him that he let none of God's words fall to the ground. He knew God's word. Let me tell you something. You might be the best worker at your job. You might be the most faithful person in this church. You might be the best son, the best daughter, the best parent, whatever. But man, if the words of God aren't in you, what value is it? What worth is it? If you're not having a relationship with your Bible, I mean, if you don't know it in and out, through and through, how will you come to this point in your life and be able to make the right decision? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word? Whenever you come to this intersection, this crossroads in your life, if the Word of God isn't deep in your heart, how are you going to make the right decision? How are you going to make the right choice? How are you going to say, as Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You know, you have the Word of life. I'll sell all I have. I'll follow you, not a problem. How can you do that if all of your service is just an outward service? I don't know. You need to read your Bible daily. You need to know the Word of God. You have to be prepared to give an answer, not only to those that ask of the hope, of the reason of the hope in you, not only those that deny the Lord, But in order to answer the Lord Himself, what are you going to answer Him with? With your words? Yeah. Read Job. He didn't like that idea. There's one more thing here. Jesus says in verse 21 again. He says, "Sell all. There's one thing that you lack. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast. Give to the poor. To the poor." Then he says at the end, "Take up the cross and follow me." I think this is the reason, and this is the crux of the problem. He says of the matter. He says there's a conviction involved. You know, up to this point, he was watching out for himself. Living the right way, saying the right thing, doing the right thing, honoring those that needed honor, staying away from certain kinds and types of people. But Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes unto the fields, they're white already under harvest. Look at the people all around you. Look at the poor." He says, "Look at me." There is a conviction involved. If you want to serve Christ and you're not convicted about it, you're going to come to the same point and you're going to walk away from Him. Talking about a matter of the heart. Down deep inside, that neighbor that you've seen every day go to work, and you say, "I hope somebody preaches the gospel to him." Where's the conviction in your heart? That coworker that you work with, and you say, "Man, I wish that somebody would, I wish this guy would get saved." Go for it. All those people on those pictures. Man, who's going to go? I wish God would raise somebody up to go to them. There's a conviction involved. You're not convicted about it. Maybe, if you're not convicted about it, maybe, just maybe, you're so in love with yourself and so focused on yourself and so worried about me, myself, and I that you're just like this guy, going to walk away sad. It's amazing. I mean, the Bible says, "The perilous times shall come; men shall be lovers of themselves, of their own selves." I think we live in those times. I don't care about the terrorists and the godlessness and the sin and what have you. Man, people are in love with themselves. You know, we have something that we call Facebook, right? Now, just let me tell you something. What would you think of me if I invited you to come to my house and you walk in and I sit you down in my living room, which I don't have, but let's just say, and there on the coffee table is a huge portrait of me. Next to it are a couple of candles, and here's some CDs, which are my favorite. And my movies, which I really love, I mean, they're great, they're wonderful. And there's a sign-up sheet. And I ask you, if you like my CDs, just write your name down. And say, confirm that you like my CDs and my movies. What would you think about me? Is that normal? Thank you very much. There you go. You guys would think that I'm weird. You guys would think that I'm some sort of spook. You guys would be looking for the door. You understand? What you're doing is you're putting out for everybody to see. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look what I love. Look what I like. Look what I do. Look what I'm doing right now. Look where I am right now. Look at me, guys. Look at me. Christ says, "Look at the poor." Christ says, "Look at me." Now, it got quite quiet. I guess everybody has Facebook, huh? Well, I don't. Now, probably some of you are saying, you hypocrite, Magda has Facebook, so how dare you? So you lost the argument, yes? You're just as vain as my wife is, so good for you, yeah? It's not a point one. The point isn't Facebook, obviously. It's just an example. The point is, where is your heart? God is jealous, He's zealous over your heart. He wants your heart. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your time. He doesn't want your effort. He doesn't want your energy. He doesn't need you. He wants your heart. If your heart is in the right place, these chairs will be filled. If your heart is in the right place, Poland will have lots of preachers. Mexico will have lots of preachers. The fields will be empty because we'll be out there reaping those white fields. The point is the heart. Draw nigh unto me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. If you want to stay the course, if you want to walk with Christ, if you want to follow Christ, if you want to hear those marvelous words at the end of the road, well done, my son. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Get your heart right. Get your heart right. That's the bottom line.